Whether he forgot, he went the 25th.
Clark, you may stay and thank you for all of your blessings that you do reach out to each and every day, Lord. It's be it this word that's brought forth, Lord, and go to everyone here, Lord, that we can learn more about you, Lord, and get these things pinned down, Lord, that we can stay strong in your faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, thank you. We're back to Acts chapter 4 here. You know, we have these scriptures, we can learn the account. We can listen to how our Lord Father should respond. We can see, we can learn from it. And that is good. That's right. That's what we need to do. But I hope that this morning, that we'll just get thinking a little bit. Just get thinking about, and then, no, not too much to anybody else, just look at ourselves and see where we stand. And our mindset. Okay? So we are going to go, and I'm just going to just to reset the stage here in Acts chapter 4. I could read a couple verses here, listen to the word here. It says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with grace, how? Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Wow, that's just come in there. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and bought the price and gave the things that we sold and laid them down the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man as for them as he had need. You know, sometimes as individuals, church members, ready? We sometimes compare ourselves to others. Of course, it's not a comparison to myself alone, to, but I'm better than, right? We compare ourselves. Yeah. It's been a problem for mankind for a couple years now. All right? Sometimes, as churches, we might compare our church to other churches. Huh? The churches, they don't do that well. Boy. I tell you what, you want to compare yourself to churches? Compare yourselves to this church right here and see where we fall in, where we line up. As we've read some other scriptures, just read a couple here. The one core thing, wow, this is an example for us. Okay, this is an example for us. And then, here we go. My understanding, or the entire understanding, people didn't go sell their home. They were living. They had land. He had an extra home. They had inherited. Whatever the case is, they sold and gave it to the church, gave it to the apostles' feet, to the people that were in need. All right? And I talked about a little bit last night, the mindset. And could ruffle a feather here, but we don't have this mindset. Because here it is, it says in verse number 32, things that which he possessed was not his own. Think of all your stuff that you have. Oh, I worked for that. It's mine. No, it's not. It's not your own. It's not your own. The land, the house, as well, I was. How when Israel came into the promised land, what did God do? Here. He just gave it to them. Just gave it to them. Well, that's because we're faithful. God just gave it. We need to think about that. I don't know, just go with me here. I wasn't thinking of Brother Alex when I was coming up with this idea, like I said, I think about our mindset. All right, oh, Brother Dale, what ifs? There are 200 people come into Oregon from another land, another country, persecution, whatever, they're here. We're here. They're missionary Baptists. They bleed, teach, practice. They just kind of literally ran out of. What are we going to do? Kind of sell our stuff that we don't need. I might get rid of gun number 25, but not number 1 through 24. No way. Or our motorhomes, or our trailers, or our, oh, now you're getting on our tip. What do we do that? Well, hey, they're the development line. The Catholic Church has a food bank.
Yeah.
We got $100 if you need to help. I'm being sarcastic a little bit, right? It's our mindset. With great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. It's easy to get caught up with what we have, and we deserve it. It's mine, and I need it for whatever. And I just mentioned, though, there's a ton of stuff that I mentioned. These guys here had a mindset. Wow, it was great. I think the Lord was pleased with this mindset. You know, verse number 36, let's go there. I'm not sure how to say the name of Moses. Judged by the apostles with surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite. And of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Read it that way. Is that this or is that real?
No, this is this.
Okay, this is real. Seal second, one second. Go. You're up.
So sorry for delaying this. Going back. So we kind of have this pressure maybe from the world that churches are to be benevolent and we're to give and somebody that's in need we're to pour out that need for them. This passage is talking about the church. Neither, verse 34, neither was there any among them that were. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And we think about, well, what did God expect after this church? Not just the apostles. Fast forward to chapter 6, the apostles said, we're going to stick with prayer and the word. But what about everybody else in the church? Were they not supposed to be busy doing the Lord's work also? And this distribution to the saints and the necessity of these church members was allowing them to do the work of God and taking care of those needs. And you talk about the attitude today. Is that our attitude today? Because we have a lot of really solid career-based church members, and they're career-based.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what God's called us to do as a body of Christ? Do you want us to play that with you?
What's first? Okay, now God provides, He produces, right? We all know how that works. So the total mindset was preaching the resurrection. I've noticed here in a couple of messages already in Acts chapter 4, chapter 2, chapter 3, there with the council, started chapter 4, right here. Seems like the resurrection of Jesus Christ is preaching quite a bit already in these first seven chapters. Is that really what it's all about? The main yes, born, was, yes, heart, love. Get to the resurrection. What's the red? You have to talk about the death. And why the purpose of that death. And that's what these guys are doing. That's the example that we have. And really, I joke about they retire. Heard that word before. This is a heaven retirement right here. This is, brother, we're looking forward to life beyond this life here on earth. And they saw what was important for their master, their savior, sure, but also how to please him and what was important at all. And so, I'm not saying that you have to go sell, I'm joking, something and go give it to the, but you need to think about that. What is important? What is important here? All right, and take the brother. Now it's easy to go, well, yeah, but you know, Albert Alex used to sit around there and play video games, got hat on backwards, and his wife, give me this, give me that. I'm not working, so I can have that attitude, but I don't know if it's right in there. Okay. And the test of how do you know? Hello. For the Lord. The Lord can take care of it. Matter of fact, you just read about a couple individuals right here. God takes care of it, okay? He knows. And so, with that being said here, asking a question, I read verses 36 to chapter 5, verse 2. Who were these people? Who were Barnabas and I? Who were these people? They were members of the New Testament church, right? I'll be saved. That's a little chilly, right? Should have been baptized, church members. Do you know anything that tells about here at this point? What? Well, we're going to plan about a couple of them, right? What about verse number 31? Do we read that? What about verse 32? Well, all of them except, I don't know. The bottom line, this church is big. There's a lot of foes. We don't know exactly how many we in the past were, okay? This church was going. How many people were part of the victory in Jericho? The Israelites. How many of them? All of them. All of them. Yet, Satan goes after the weak, doesn't he? Bacon? Yeah. He was there. He saw the victory. He saw the hand of God. He was there when they crossed over the Jordan River. What? He was there some of those years in the wilderness. And then came Jericho and the lust of the flesh. Right? Do we know how that ends up? Yeah. Probably not those two. But here's the deal. It can happen to any of us. Yeah. It can happen to people that are saved. It can happen to church members. Yeah. It can happen to you. Well, us today, if we allow it. Plus, we have the example in the scripture to learn from. Not to ease down on these people. We're not going to do that. You don't want to do that. That doesn't anywhere else. And plus, how does that help the Lord? So, we have a guy who missed part of this. First, get to know him a little bit later on. But now we jump into chapter 5. Okay? So, no doubt, Ananias and Sapphira, whatever it was, they end up lusting. They got maybe the price was more than what they had committed. I don't know. The bottom line is the Bible says they kept back part of the price. And of course, we find. They were in agreement, number two, and now they lied to God. Is lust a problem? Yeah. I'm assuming all of us would raise our hand if we said, you know, there's different things to lust after, but it is a problem that we are kind of confronted with all the time. And ready for this? Even people that are older, people have been in the work for years, it is a problem. And Satan is amazing because he can figure out exactly what Brother Scott's lust might be, okay, looking on you, and it's probably and makes a difference, Brother Reagan's. I mean, he knows. All right, he's gonna put what's out there that he feels is the right bait, so to speak. Okay? Is it real?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
It's on James 1.
It's not that he's clairvoyant, he knows our heart and our mind, but he knows us as humans. We cheat and reveal.
We show it. Thank you for bringing that. Yes. Oh, yeah. The word's out. The word's out. And thus, the roaring lion walked about. He's going, oh, I see. I see. And there it comes. Okay? Good point. Thank you. So, let's talk about Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. To the Christian, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. And if you leave them, maybe you can turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 23. I'm talking about lying here. Have we known this? Boy, I don't know. How many people teach their children how to lie? We always say that, right? I tell you what, it's there. It's there in every one of us. And just because things are going pretty good, we make the teacher lie in a heartbeat. Every one of us can lie today. And God hates lying. And I think we know this, but in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse number 21, would you read that for us, J.C.?
Thou shalt vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack a thing. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin.
It's sin. Okay, when you make a vow to the Lord, here's the lessons here. Sneak cheek. Okay? As a matter of fact, if you make that vow, we're going to be held to that. Okay? Better not even make a vow. You're not going to do it. It's much better. Right over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And since you read, I believe I said, how about verses 4 through 6, please? Okay.
When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in full. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth, because thy flesh, to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand?
Right. So there's a couple of references in the Old Testament. And, you know, we can see it coming here. And, of course, in the book of Acts, chapter 5 here. You're going to make a vow, you pay it. Don't make a vow. Better off not to make the vow than to go through it and not pay. But
well, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus has a parable of a certain rich man whose barns are already full. So he's totally blessed to the maximum that he has available. And so then he's continuing to be blessed. And instead of doing something else with that, he says, well, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger, I'll fill those up, and then I'll just do nothing for the rest of my life. And God said, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Right? And so it's like, we're going to try to sweep up all this stuff, and then boom, our lives pay for it. We still don't have it.
And what started that was the mindset. Mm-hmm. And here we go. Then. Go ahead.
You think about Jephthah and what he had to give up because of his vow. Oh, there he was.
Yes. But that was a bad vow. Yes. Yes, sir. Very much so. Good.
I'm just in the story of Samson, he broke his vow to the Lord, the Nazarite vow. And in breaking that, he should have shaved his head and burnt it at the tabernacle. That's what they were supposed to do. They broke that vow. And we always think, well, it was Delilah, and that's, well, he broke that vow previously, and it's the same. I mean, it led to his destruction.
It led, good. Was Ananias and Sapphira required to sell the land? No. Okay, so if you go back there, the volunteer was, we can do this to help, we can do it. And evidently, they got to the point where they made that choice. I believe it. You said, well, they were pressured. I don't know. I don't see that. But, the bottom line is they made this choice. And then it gets to that part where, they held back part of the price. Okay? And so, again, they made a vow. They told God they would. Then as we see, they did. And that is a lie. It's not justified in any way. It's a lie. And to go on it, you sign your name to the on a dotted line, follow through with it. All right? You follow through with it. Even though the world we live in will give you some help and some ways to sign, you follow through, so you made a vow. Okay, that's what we should be doing here. Now, but I want to go on a in Colossians chapter 3, I want to hit this before. Colossians chapter 3, I'm wrong here, I'm sure I'll be old. In Colossians chapter 3, it says here in verse number 18, we're talking about husband and wife. Yeah, we're saying, wives, submit yourself and your own husband, as is fit the Lord. Okay? The wife are to submit themselves unto their own husband as is fit the Lord. That is true. As is fit the Lord. So according to what the Lord would have you do, according to his will, according to what he has set aside here. We have a husband and wife. Were they in agreement? Were they in agreement with what took place here? Yes or no?
Yes.
Right? They did. They say, well, they become one. Well, here's the thing that is true. But look down here back in chapter 1. Okay, yes. Ananias, he lies the Holy Ghost to get an eye back part of the prize. Goes on and says the first thing before, you know, I think it's Peter here talking, I believe. And he says, you know, now thou's not like the men, she's lied to God. You lied to God. And he died. Okay, he was, well, no, let me rephrase that. God killed him. God killed him. God killed the saved, scripturally baptized member of the New Testament church. Instead of lying. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Husband, wife, they're one. So let's look at verses 7 through 10. And when about a space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. She said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, he to them which have buried thy husband out the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. For young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Marriage, two become one. But how are they judged?
Individually. Mm-hmm.
Wives, if your husband gets a lame brain idea to do something against God, I vote against this. No, or I'm not too bad. Love you, you're my husband, etc. But I'm not doing this if this is against God. Because we see an example of a fire standing individually. What are your church and being dressed with God right here? Go ahead.
I don't know this, but I, you know, you can look at God's character, and my thought process is if she confesses at that point, God probably doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But she stood with it and stuck with the lie. And maybe that's true for Ananias too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's totally my own thought process. I don't necessarily have proof of it, but she had an opportunity. She was given an opportunity to fess up and repent, but she did not give.
But you're not, I don't know either.
Well, he did
about the same thing, right? Quick.
He did it with Moses and his wife. I mean, she circumcised their son and called him a bloody husband, and she stood in the gap between God and so. The pattern there is
we can go to life. You know, the thing, by the time they got to even, I mean, there was a time, 3:23. No. But you know what? these incidents that we're doing. Sometimes we strike down dead immediately, right? And right here, it seems like there was an opportunity. It seems like there was an opportunity. And what the Lord would have done and how he would have handled it, well, I don't know for 100% sure, but when she came out and said, I'm standing stuck with the story, whatever the plan was, whatever the case was, it was done. It was done. All right?
And maybe I told my wife a number, or we come into a big chunk of money. And gosh, that's a lot. Maybe I could just hold back on that. Then no. Luckily, you know, we heard that account in the Bible, we can look at and hide that in our heart.
Cool. There's an account of Bible reading of that.
Thank you. That's the plan.
Sarah, aren't you glad?
Hide it in your heart.
Yeah, right. Aren't you glad that we have the example? Here's okay. Don't lie to God. You don't have any examples, will you? Yeah. That big a deal, isn't it? Yes. And so we do have this example, again. Thank you, because I'm assuming that Brother Nate's not the only one that's thought of this example. We've all went that direction years ago. So I feel it.
Yeah, I just had this conversation in church about you talk about judging and looking at other people, and we as church members, when we go through some scripture, you know, things like adultery, fornication, is just horrible, horrible things. And yet there's a Proverbs account that says God hates lying twice and he's long all of them.
Yeah.
And here we have a situation where church members have lied and dead, and we're born liars and let all men be liars. And here we have these judgments against sins, you know, and we just stand our ground and yet I'm a liar.
Yeah.
And this is how God sees liars. Thank God for the record.
Thank God for the record.
Yes. Son man wrote the Bible, and all that happens in good days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, thankfully we have God's word that he shows the truth so we can learn by it.
That's really nice. That's where we end up, most of us end up.
Yeah.
Where I end up there,
yeah,
on that side of the fence more than, end of chapter 4, I tend to slip down into chapter 5.
Come on, man.
Let's go here, sir. Yeah.
And the fact that God does give us a space for those, because, I mean, if we only had, I guess the bad, and not the space to repent, there would be no hope for us. We would give up, but yet God shows us that there is space to repent, and that even Brother Peter, who failed the Lord more than once, was then still used of the Lord when he repented and got things right and did a great work for the Lord, and then failed again, and then turned around and repented, and then was used of the Lord again.
Thank you. And you know, Brother Peter, ready? Yeah. He was here today.
Mm-hmm.
And if his failures, and he wouldn't be bragging on
his failures,
but if his failures serve as an example to us, don't make do what I do. He'd be singing it down. He went this very big problem, but I did this later. The bottom line is, yes, that's a failure. Thank the Lord here. The repentance again, right? Amazing when you. God's going to do the judgment. I don't do the judgment. God's going to do the judgment. Don't end up being working itself. But thank goodness that we do have some of these examples. And then we can get. Sometimes they were just, sometimes they repented, and we see things go, we can go on forth. Don't want to go back and read about Achan. Think about Rebel, great victory, Jericho, Mount dropped down after Ai. And then Israel, God told him to judge, doing the stoning and the burning of the family, right? Remember all that? Get from this? After that was done, what did the nation do afterwards? They went forward. They went forward and victory after victory, right? We're not perfect. They went forward. Verse 11, chapter 5. Right? And great fear came upon all the church. How many?
All the church.
And upon it, as many as heard these things. Did it happen? It did. Might not be the highlight in Baptist history, but it happened. And it's there for example. All right, now let's look at this as an individual here. We have these examples. Just chew on these for just a second. We have Ananias and Sapphira. Real people really happened. Okay? We have Abel. We have Lot's wives. We have 10 spies that came with three, four. So these folks that just named a couple, they die. What they do, they're standing for their Lord. They're going to be standing in judgment. Well done, that good and faithful servant. Do we really want to stand before the Lord with the last thing that we've done here on this earth like this right here? No. Right? No. So our job is keep the mind of Christ. Realize what to expect is how the Lord would have handled something, etc. And be doing that at all times, even when nobody's watching, because somebody is watching. And stay busy, have the right motivation, and that the gospel is not hindered, we don't learn a witness, experience, able to work more, etc. All right? Here we go. Chapter 5, verse 12. But Jared, feel like reading? Really?
I got it.
You don't look like you look even so, right? You're matching. Brother Reagan, go for it if you would. About 12, 16.
By the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among them, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
All right. So, thank you, Brother Hawker, about some miracles. Signs and wonders, right? Signs and wonders. There's a purpose here. And there were signs and wonders. You read about people coming in, sticks, laying down, maybe just a shadow walking over. These are some healings. These are some miracles. These are some signs. And these are some wonders. Great, great, great. Jesus himself, when he was here on this earth, some of these same things that happened, right? Is that the reason why Jesus came to this earth? So that we can heal the people of their physical problems and their et cetera? Is that the purpose?
No.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, brother.
Spiritual.
I spoke to his want to, but not spiritual. The physical, there was some of that done. Well, brought that up because now we have the church here, the members of the church, also sure, but the members of the church going forward, and there was some more healing, some sickness, etc.
Yes.
But that's not the purpose here. The purpose of the church was not to use the gift of healing or, I know how that was worded. To be the tool. God has wanted us to heal. I didn't say that the correct way. So the purpose was the audience and the message that was funny though. My understanding that could be wrong with Solomon's porch. When you think of the temple, okay, here's this nice picture I showed you. It's a regular temple.
Sorry, I should have that.
Okay, you think of the temple, a lot of times you just think of that. Where the vault, where the candlestick was, the sanctuary, you think of that, the candlestick, the little children, and the voice in the back of the Holy Holy. Okay. Those of you who've seen pictures, been the Temple Mount was big, still is big, by the way. All right, and not trying to get up, but they places where the women could go, the women, and there was places on the outside. There was barriers that was over the Gentiles, not all the way out. Okay, it was the Temple Mount was a happening. It was there was stuff going on. Okay, my understanding is that Solomon's porch was, I believe it was on the east side, and it was sort of the perimeter of the scripture talking about Jesus walking and where time. I'm just assuming it was raining, maybe it was cold weather. I don't know. Anyway, it's just there was a perimeter around the Temple Mount. The bottom line, sometimes the temple is being referred to as actually, you know, the temple proper, I guess we'd say. And then a lot of times it's the Temple Mount. Okay. When you read that a crowd gathers, or they were laying up, they were not inside the temple where the priests got to go in, et cetera. And I know it's not in Jewish law. This was the outer. Did I watch that? Or I'm sure the picture has helped me understand. All right, there you go. Like, you're all happy. I take that. So the bottom line is, this is amazing there. It says that this they were coming and the Solomon's porch and it says that verse 14 and the believers were added more to the Lord's multitudes, both of men and women. Do the math. Take that number that you have, whether it's the 8,000 number, add the Y and the chip. Take that number and now add multitudes to it. Church in Jerusalem was just a number of a large group. And I can tell you, I'm just trying to picture this large group, brethren, on the Temple Mount, listening, bringing the sick, listening. And then I'm seeing the priest and them on the doorstep going, why aren't those guys coming in here? Why aren't those guys here doing a little sacrament? Why? Can you see it? And anger, the frustration, their, et cetera. Well, we'll get to see that frustration again, maybe. Again, next time the kids are on here sometime down the road. I don't really know what's going to happen. But the bottom line is, keep reading the rest of the chapter. And you thought what happened at the end of chapter 4? Well, they get angered again. They bring it again. And I'll tell you a little bit of the church members, the apostles of the church members, Peter and the rest of the crew, they stick to their guns. Can they get that down? And that is amazing. That is great. And that is an example for you and I. You know, the little hawkers, you would.
They're following the example of Christ. That it's not always written specifically, but again, to emphasize, believe what? What's the believing? Doesn't the Bible say after you heard the word, the gospel being preached, you believe? So they weren't just doing miracles, wonders, and healing and moving on, next one in line. They were preaching the gospel of Christ. Same thing Jesus did in the gospels when he healed and passed out. He was preaching the gospel to people. That's the whole purpose there.
Did multitudes believe and follow, believe John the Baptist and follow the Lord in the regeneration in multitudes during the time of Christ's here on the judgment? I'm for a little bit, and then some walk away. But thank the Lord for those here. And yes, there have been failures along the way, how recently as it were. Thank the Lord, because that crew that got a hold of the truth, was there on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came on them. That truth, that group went forward. And as a result, because of these great men, no, because of their faith and love in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now we're getting the word from multitudes in a place that had been just following, worshiping God in the Old Testament law for a couple of years now, right? And now this new covenant, and because of this, their Lord's example, and the brethren following their Lord's example, and sticking to their God and saying, we're going to obey God and not man. Oh, my goodness. It was some good times for the Lord and for the Lord. But Satan doesn't like it. He'll continue attacking in Israel. So, Doug, you on?
Go ahead, Daniel.
Did you hear this?
Amen. Say it.
Say it, please.
12 and 13. Many of them apparently were joining because of the popularity. This yet, and came railing in verse 13, number 14, young spiritual, and the Lord of the Lord. Believing for Adam wasn't, no longer a show. This isn't just a popular one. This is something right.
Everybody here that, so now, as they did join, we call them to get more teaching directly to the voice of their discomfort, right? Oil clean, candles came on, candle lights came on, right? And then they saw how it really works. That happens to Jason. Right, thank you. Just stand.